So are Medi hotels going to continue to cause problems? And should we perhaps be looking at doing quarantine differently? Edward McCarroll with this report.
The origins of South Australia's current COVID cluster have been traced back to a single worker at a Medi hotel in the Adelaide CBD. Victoria has only just came out of months of lockdown caused by a similar incident. Many people are questioning whether keeping international arrivals in a hotel quarantine such as this is a good idea. Adrian Easterman, Professor of Biostatistics and Epidemiology at the University of South Australia, is not convinced and says Australia must reevaluate its quarantining system.
When the epidemic first hit Australia, everything was rushed and we didn't have much choice. We just threw people into these hotels because that was the best we could do. But now that we're several months down the track, I think it's about time we stop putting people into these Medi hotels. It's simply too dangerous.
With Melbourne's second wave and the outbreaks that occurred there in apartment living complexes, there was a lot of talk about how easy transmission in vertical living is. With that, is SA's high-rise hotels conditions the best decision for quarantining?
Look, many of these Medi hotels are cramped quarters with little airflow. People are stuck in rooms where you can't even open the window. So it's not the ideal environment. And you're right, it's potentially a place where the virus can replicate. So many reasons why it's far better to take people out of those places and put them in sort of remote setting where at least they've got fresh air and all the amenities they need.
Adelaide's second wave of COVID has mostly been linked to a cluster in the northern suburbs. This was started by a worker who left the hotel and travelled back home. With that, was there enough consideration placed onto how the staff of the International Arrivals Hub travel to and from work, with public transport being a keen issue here?
It's very difficult. The Medi hotels in the middle of the city, so the cleaners have to take public transport to get to their residence. Again, it's a major risk to the general public. So we've got to do everything we can to protect the general public. And I don't think having these hotels in the middle of the city is the best way.
When looking at other states, they have located their international arrivals in more remote locations. Do you think that's what we should do in South Australia?
Absolutely. There are places we could actually open up, which already have infrastructure. An example would be Woomera. Another place that we could possibly use would be the Woodhouse Recreation Centre, which has got a commercial kitchen. But of course, yeah, one thing that these places don't usually have are health facilities. So you'd have to set up health facilities in them. But that can be done. The Australian Defence Force could be involved. So all of this is doable. It's just a matter of whether the government's willing to do it.
And in your opinion, do they have to make action on this now?
Yes, if we want to keep bringing more and more people in. I think we need to look more closely at how we handle these. I mean, it's almost impossible to stop a leak from these Medi hotels. We can't stop people from coming into Australia. This is their right to come into Australia. But we have to rethink how we handle it. And you're quite right. Other states have managed to find solutions which don't involve putting people into the middle of a city. So I can't see why we can't do the same thing.
Adrian Easterman, Professor of Biostatistics and Epidemiology at the University of South Australia. Some other states have located their quarantine hubs away from their cities in more remote locations, one of which is the Northern Territory. Associate Professor Robert Parker is president of the Northern Territory's branch of the Australian Medical Association. He told me why the Northern Territory chose not to put the international arrivals in city hotels.
This bug, the COVID bug, thrives on where people congregate. I mean, it's as much drop of transmission between individuals as it is on services. So where you've got like a housing complex where you've got lifts, you've got common areas where people come and go, you're more likely, therefore, to get service transmission than you are where things are more spread out. The Territory has been very sensible. We've currently got the quarantine facility at Howard Springs that has various zones that can be separated so people with various risks can be separated from each other.
What benefit does Howard Springs being in a remote location bring to quarantining?
Well, I suppose it's just the layout. Basically what you've got is a veranda with about six pods leading off it. And a pod's got a living room and a bathroom and a veranda. So people can get access to fresh air, which is certainly, unfortunately, people in the hotels in big cities can't do that quite often. And they can be kept, so their risk can be assessed. So people who have got active COVID can be kept away from the other individuals. And you've got currently AusMat staff who are well-trained, sort of basically caring for the individuals. So they're very aware of the COVID protocols and the PPE.
Do you think Adelaide should start to move their international arrivals into regional or remote areas?
No, I think, again, as long as you've got appropriate PPE and you've got appropriate protocols for safeguarding staff and people, the hotels work. the so I don't think there's a particular advantage. And the other advantage, obviously, is where you've got hotels, it's much easier to staff them. Howard Springs is in the rural area of Darwin, but it's easily accessible. If you start moving these quarantine facilities way out of town, you've then got you do have significant issues with staffing and transport and all the other issues, and food and all the other things you require to keep the quarantine services going.
Associate Professor Robert Parker, he's the NT President of the Australian Medical Association, ending that report by The Wire's Edward McCarroll.